please, the dance is about to begin.
Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine. Whose world is this? It's mine. Whose world is this?
The world is yours. The world is yours.
It's mine.
I sip the dumb peak watching Gandhi.
Hey, yo, what's going on? This is Aaron bringing you episode 127 of the Semi-Social Life of a Black Introvert podcast. Hope that you're having a wonderful day wherever you are all around the world. I hope that you are smiling. I hope that you are feeling the vibe and the energy. I hope that you are cool and appreciating the point at which you are. Right at this moment, are you appreciating where you are? You know, life is a journey. You know, I've spent 38 years, oh my gosh, almost 39 years on this earth. And I've been in places of highs, of lows, of in-betweens. But I'm learning how to appreciate the moments, the small moments. I know we live in this world in which we have to see the grand scheme and all that. Yeah, whatever. But can you see the small schemes that set up the grand scheme? The small moments. Those moments of momentum and purpose. Those moments in your life that just feed positively into who you are. A couple weeks ago, I had a student text me happy birthday. Former student text me happy birthday. And even though it wasn't my birthday, y'all, that made my day. It felt like it was my birthday. Like my birthday was 2 months later, but it's okay because I felt in that moment, I'm like, wow, this person really thought it was my birthday. And out of everything to do in their day and their life, they want to text me happy birthday. I text the student back and he explained that that the year before, he remembered that my birthday was on the 30th of the month, either April, May, June, whatever it may be. And so he thought it was April 30th. He told me that he felt embarrassed by the mix-up. And I had to tell him, like, yo, your text made my day. This student is someone who I've known for nearly 10 years. He's like a little brother to me. I mean, we're brothers. I mean, that's how I look at it, and that's how he looks at it. For 10 years, we've been involved in each other's lives. 10 years of conversation. 10 years of encouragement, 10 years of investment. He's in college. And I tell him, it's been an honor to be in this journey with him for 10 years. It's rare that you get to spend 10 years with somebody. But yo, I'm honored to do it. After he told me he was embarrassed by the birthday text and I told him the correct date, I also made sure to tell him, that made my day. Because there are moments in my life in which I may not know, or sometimes I need someone to tell me that I'm making a difference, or that I've made a difference, or that I'm important, or that I am worthy of a birthday text, a call, an acknowledgement. Yes, I need that. I know it doesn't seem like the most strong thing to say, and no, I don't need any type of help. You know, people say that all the time. I don't need that. I don't need, letters and acknowledgement. No, I'm at this point now where I can acknowledge that I need acknowledgement. Because it's those seemingly small moments that create the momentum that help me create movement to get to the next place in my life. The small scheme that leads to the grand scheme. What that student did not know, and I made sure that I told him, was that I needed that moment in my day where I was. I didn't know I needed it, but when it hit me, I knew that I needed his encouragement. I needed his love, his acknowledgement. When I read the text, I was grateful for where I've been, for where I'm going, but I was very grateful for where I currently was in that moment. Why am I telling y'all this? Y'all, find these little moments. these little moments, these seemingly insignificant moments, these small scheme moments that can lead and that would give you the momentum for you to see the grand scheme of things. Those are the moments that get us not just through the day, but to a destination. Those are the moments that make us smile, that give us those energies, almost like an energy boost. Like we're just boosted with all sorts of power because we know what we're doing is working. We know that we have power to change, to heal, to grow, to teach other people. When people acknowledge our power, it helps us acknowledge our power. So to the student, yo, thank you. Thank you. You're incredible. I'm proud of you, not for what you're doing, but I'm proud of you because of who you are. I really am proud of who you are. Yes, I can acknowledge your accomplishments, and I do. I see what you're doing. But I am proud of the man that is accomplishing his goals. The person before the prize. You are special. You are incredible. And I am honored to be a part of your life. And I'm honored that you're a part of my life. Y'all, I am, I say this a lot, even though maybe I don't because I haven't done an episode, like a true, real episode in a little while. But I'm excited about this episode, and I'm unexpectedly excited about this episode because 2 hours ago, I wasn't sure what I was going to speak on. Like I had some ideas, but I wasn't sure where I was going to go. If you go way back in December, I had this series called Working While Black, and I gave y'all like the grand scheme. Once again, the grand scheme of what I was going to do. I was going to talk about my experiences being black in a mostly white workplace. Some of my experiences. Some of the experiences that I went through as a, going back to a 10-year-old kid, to a 14-year-old, 15-year-old working my first job, all the way leading up to today. Whenever you're hearing this moment, I wanted to provide you with stories, with tales, with experiences that would make you shake your head like, I can't believe he experienced that at the workplace. I wanted to provide you all, and especially my students, with guides and wisdom on how to enter into the workforce and some of the challenges that they may have being people of color in primarily white workplaces. I've had plenty. This is one of those disclaimers that I don't necessarily feel like I need to say, but I'm going to say it anyway because, yeah, it's my podcast. I've had plenty of great experiences in mostly white workplaces, but also I've had some experiences that I've had to really dig deep in my soul and dissect. And this is my platform. My platform gives me an opportunity to talk honestly from my perspective about them. Not to knock or try to tear down my former places of employment because, y'all, if you did a little research, you could find them. This isn't a smear campaign. This is to make things clear as to what I experienced from my perspective. Sometimes providing information is not slanderous. It's true. And when it's true and authentic, it provides an avenue for growth. And this avenue of growth will create change and evolution within business protocols and corporate systems that tend to lean toward white men in power. This is not an expose. This is my experience. And today's episode, this episode was inspired by a conversation at a graduation dinner in which I was surrounded by people of color. And we were sharing our life experiences both in our personal and professional lives. Y'all, the title of this episode in The second installment of the Working While Black series is called Black Synergy. Y'all, if you haven't listened to episode one, go back and check it out. I talked about one of the experiences I had growing up in middle-class America in a predominantly white side of town, and my first job working for somebody else who wasn't my father. You know, one of the things I've realized now growing up in Ohio, where I grew up, was that I didn't really get to work with too many black folks, even in white workplaces. Whether it be my first job at the chicken place, my second job at the fast food place, most of my jobs were in proximity to where I lived. And since I lived on the white side of town, generally I was the one or two black people in the workplace. And at that time, I did not acknowledge how important it was to have another person of color from a communal aspect in the workplace. Honestly speaking, and just being somewhat introspective and reflective, it took me entering to my 30s to realize the importance of having people of color in the workplace. Because to be real, when I was a teenager, it was about really just getting the check. I just needed some shoe money. I needed some food money. I needed a little bit of money in my bank account. Like, it wasn't that serious. And when I went to college, I wasn't really as well-versed. I was inexperienced in the workplace. I just worked. I didn't have expectations of how I should be treated as an employee. I just worked. I didn't know enough to understand the importance of having other black people or people of color in my space. I acknowledged it, but I didn't see its full importance. I knew that I liked working with other people of color. Like, I knew I wanted some around, but I didn't realize how vital it was for me until I hit my 30s, when life was real, when I had to sort of form a career and I had to follow a path of employment that seemed to make common sense and financial sense. Y'all, I've had a lot of jobs in my life, but I don't really consider any of the jobs prior to the job that I got 10 years ago. I consider that one my first like real job that was leading to a career. The others were steps leading up to this real job. They were some as short as a year. Well, some as short as like 3 months. Others a year. Others, like, I think I had a job where I was working in a place for almost 2.5 years and it felt like an eternity. And it wasn't really leading to a career. But the job that I got and that I had 10 years ago when I first started, it was a position that I knew at the time it was leading toward my purpose. I took that job not necessarily understanding my purpose, but once I got into the position, I understood my life purpose. My purpose was to help people, encourage people, and invest in people, and mainly in this job, the students who I talk about so often on this podcast, the students in this academic center. My purpose was to invest in them. Invest how, you may ask? Well, invest in them academically, help them with their studies, but also create a community, a safe place for them to come each day after school. My job was also to love and protect them. These students who are mostly East or West African, in between 80 and 120 kids a day, I did that for 8 years. The student who I spoke of earlier in the podcast, he was one of the students in that program. That was my purpose. And yet, I faced a lot of pushback. I was one of the few people of color working in that white workplace. I had wonderful coworkers, wonderful coworkers. Coworkers who, yes, were mostly white, and they treated me wonderfully. Most of my conflict of the job weren't with coworkers. It was with the system that was in place at the job. I wasn't bickering necessarily with coworkers or having petty fights. That's not really in my personality to have that type of drama each and every day with someone who does not sign my check. I respect people too much and respect myself too much to do that. But the system, the systems that these corporations and these organizations and businesses exist in, the system is what pressed down upon me in this workplace. As one of the few people of color working in that place, and as one of the very few people of color in the position within the whole organization, I face challenges. And y'all, to be completely honest, I didn't realize how many challenges, systemic challenges, I faced until I left the job. It really took the pandemic. Once my job in the whole world closed down at the start of the pandemic, it took separating myself from the actual workplace to realize, like, yo, Aaron, you've been through some stuff. As a black man, you have been through some stuff working in this predominantly white workplace. I faced unfair treatment from leadership. I witnessed how the black and brown children who were in my care were targeted unfairly by leadership and some staff, and then handed penalties and punishments that were, to be quite honest, too harsh. I witnessed the over-policing of black youth. Y'all, I endured many meetings. Man, so many meetings. Especially around the 2019-2020 time of explaining blackness to the white leadership and staff, explaining my stance of blackness, why things weren't quote unquote fair, why I was upset about why a certain student was handed this punishment and the treatment of people and people of color within the given space. Y'all, I was exhausted. Exhausted. You can probably hear it in my voice. I was exhausted. And once again, just to be completely real with you, I don't know how I showed up to work each and every day for 8 years. 8 years of fight. Yeah, there were some good times, but 8 years of a system that was really meant to stomp out the empowerment that I had within me. 8 years of doing great work, but yet I could not elevate up the ladder because what I was doing was too radical and too dangerous. 8 years of meetings, 8 years of poor performance reviews, 8 years of conversations, 8 years of being an outsider, 8 years of hitting the glass ceiling, 8 years. How did I show up to work and do the great job, do the job, the purpose-led job that I did? Y'all, it was the black synergy. It was the one or two black coworkers that I had working from time to time and being able to give the look. I call it the look of acknowledgement. Like when I walked into work, we would give the look. The look of understanding, like, yo, I know you're going through something there. I know that this is a tough place for you to exist. I know because I'm a person of color and we're going through some of the same things. It was the look of acknowledgement. I see you. Man, to be a person of color in a predominantly white workplace, to be acknowledged is huge. I see you. I desired to be seen. And not just to be seen, just to be seen. No, I wanted people to see me for what I was truly bringing to the workplace. What I brought each and every day, my passion, my love, my willingness to teach, my willingness to invest, and not this concocted narrative of BS, of being a malcontent, of being a rebel without a cause. No, I have a cause. I want it to be seen for the light that is within me. Not just a empowered, dark-skinned brother who's trying to tear down the system. I had two co-workers who I look to, who I look at right now, even to this very day, as sisters, who would see me and acknowledge me. And the conversations that we would have about our personal lives, our kids, our career pursuits, or just joking throughout the day, all of that, that Black synergy, that Black energy that we had with each other, y'all, that was a small scheme that led to the grand scheme. Those smiles, the jokes, the laughter, sometimes the correction, sometimes the harsh truth, the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I experienced with these two individuals, it made, and it's funny even saying this, and I believe it, it made the experience working there, even facing the harsh challenges that I faced each and every day, it made it worth it. Because their energy, their encouragement, and their acknowledgement, and our synergy made me feel like I could fight any battle and win. Black synergy, the energy of when we come together as a community, as a collective, and when we acknowledge each other's presence. When we, I wrote this down. When we feel seen, heard, acknowledged, and protected. That's the Black synergy I'm talking about. Let me run through that again. To be seen, to be heard, to be acknowledged, and to be protected. Within the Black synergy, I did not realize how valuable that is. It's so valuable in the workplace to have a space in which, even though I'm bald right now, in which you can let your hair down, talk freely, and be seen not as an employee, but as a person. Be seen not as a coworker, but as a friend. Those places are so vital to our everyday lives. Y'all, these two women, they, when I look back at that 8-year run of working within the organization, those two people helped me so much during my toughest years of working there. And to this very day, at this very moment, there's not a lot that I miss about that job, but I miss our jokes that we shared together. Man, we had some of the funniest conversations. I miss the understood. Sometimes we can communicate without even saying a word. That's how close I was to them. I miss that. I miss the acknowledgement, the affirmation. I miss the food. I miss the catching up with each other's lives day by day, like you become part of a family. A work family, but a family nonetheless. That Black synergy that we had, yes, that Black synergy, an extra Black synergy that I needed during the summers of 2020, when it was hot in 2019, during the civil protests, during Black Lives Matter, during Black men and women being shot. Like, I needed a place of protection in that white workplace as I spoke out, as I stepped forward and acknowledged some of the pressures that I face, that other people of color face within the organization, and that the youth, the Black and brown youth in my academic program face each and every day. I needed that Black synergy. As I sit here and look back, like, it wasn't just them. Those are the two who I saw pretty much each and every day, but you know, I had a couple other coworkers and colleagues that I worked with in the academic center that also helped change my life and perspectives on how I see myself, and especially the power that I have within that could affect this world in a positive way. These two women are two people that I hired within the academic center. And when I hire somebody, like, when I met them, I knew that they were the ones for the job. Like, I knew when they walked in, I said, "Ooh, you're it." Because I could just tell our vibe, and they didn't even know it. But the vibe, the energy, it felt right. I said, "You are going to be within our academic center. You're going to change the lives of these kids." The first person, you know, she was a bit older than me, and she brought a mothering essence into the academic center. I, being a father, am not a mother. I'm not. I am someone's father. Actually, I'm a father to many. But when I hired her, when I saw her interact with the students, she did things that I didn't do. And I was happy to see it. I was overjoyed when she would bring in, students' lotion and hair care products because their hair was dry, their skin was dry, and she had the mind and the heart to invest into these students in such a way. Yes, we were academic center, but she would sit down and talk with the students about their daily lives and share her perspective as a professional Black woman in a predominantly, yes, white workplace and white world. She really provided and gave the academic center a heart and an environment that lended itself to be more family. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because when we would sit down and have conversations, and I would tell her what I saw the academic center to be, and how it wasn't just academics, how it was about community and family and love and trust, she would encourage it. She saw the same thing. And because of that, we could exist within our Black synergy, our Black energy, our Black connection. We could create what we saw. We could both acknowledge the environmental challenges that we faced within the place in which we worked that affected not only us, but our students. And together we could work as a team, as a brother and as a sister, as a source of inspiration. Together we could positively impact the lives of these kids who come in our presence each and every day. Yo, I appreciate her for seeing and believing. I needed her at that time that I worked. I needed her. I had, I was going through at that place. And she knew it. She saw it. Yes, we had conversations about it, but she saw the pressure that I was facing. And it was the notes of encouragement, the talks, the "How are you doing today?" The "I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can do?" It was a smile. Man, that sustained me. Another one of the other colleague that I hired, we had a crazy energy and a black synergy, as I would like to say, that completely overtook the academic center that we were working in. We worked well, me and this person. She is probably more quiet than I am. And yet she has a presence about her that I knew that the heart that she had for the students, it needed to be felt and permeated throughout the academic center. I saw her, and when I saw her and saw her in her areas of strength, I knew I had to get out the way, because it was her heart that needed to permeate throughout the academic center, be placed upon these kids. It was her vibe. It was a changing of the guard. I was smart enough and wise enough to understand that I needed to fall back and let her essence speak and be felt. Y'all, this person and I, like, we were, I felt that she protected me and the children. She, being a black woman and wanting to move up in the company also, she, how would I say this? Let me go ahead and just say it anyway. She did a great job working with me. She was wonderful. She was excellent, yet because she was a woman of color, and yet also because she worked under my tutelage, under my supervision, she didn't get the opportunities that she should have to move up or move around the organization because she had two strikes against her. One, perhaps she's a woman of color. The other, and y'all, this still somewhat infuriates me to this day, was that I, being a black man, was her supervisor, and two black people working together just didn't sit right with some. The perception of it. The results were great. The results were wonderful. The results were all you could ask for and more, and yet our work was crapped on. What we built was constantly torn down, picked apart, underfunded, and it hurt. This person and I, we spent 3 years working together toward my sort of like final sort of run in the academic center. And what we built was special. It was family. It was community. It was loving. It was academic. It was, you know, to be quite honest and real with you, it's something I now can acknowledge. It was almost once in a lifetime. That's how I see it. That's how rare it was. What we built with those 80 to 120 kids each and every day, the relationships, the synergy that we had as a community of over 100 people of color in that space, in that room, what we built was life-changing. I know it changed my life. I've heard that it's changed other people's lives too. We morphed from an academic center to a community to a family due to this person. I appreciated her. I appreciated her willingness to stand beside me, even when she didn't get the jobs that she quite frankly deserved. I was angry when she didn't get the jobs, or when they were only provide her with opportunities that they felt comfortable with. opportunities that had no destination. She was the best of the best. And yet, she, for whatever reason, could not move up within the organization. She was a shining star, and yet they could not acknowledge it. I appreciate this person for standing by me. I appreciate her her notes and words of encouragement. Many of them, actually all of them, I have to this very day. This person, after the pandemic and we all sort of split when the academic center closed, she sent me a postcard from Kenya and had a black warrior on this postcard. And she sent that from across the world. And when I received that postcard in the middle of my pandemic stress of trying to keep my kids healthy and away from COVID, and I'm trying not to get COVID, and what am I going to do for a job, and what's the future looking like, and oh my God, is the world going to end? I received this postcard and it met me right where I needed to be. How did that happen? Because of our synergy, because of our community, because of our care and protection of one another. Even though she was halfway across the world and didn't know what was going on in my life, that synergy, that energy, that protection, that care and love, yo, it delivered. And it constantly delivers and invests in my life each and every day. Black synergy in these white workplaces, it is the refreshing drink in the midst of a hot climate. Without it, I would have burnout. Instead, because of it, because of the black synergy, I was able to ignite a flame, a charge into the next generation of leaders that will create positive change in this world. Black synergy is real, y'all. When you are in these environments of being in predominantly white workplaces, find you somebody. No. I'm not going to say I didn't sound professional, right? Yeah, I'm going to say it again anyway. Find you somebody that you can vibe with, that doesn't just see you as an employee, as a professional, but they see you as a person with a purpose, who is gifted, who is talented, who is passionate, who deserves to be treated right, who deserves to be respected, who deserves to be protected, who is valuable, not because of their labor, but because of their mind. Black synergy provides a space to be acknowledged, to be seen, to be heard, and to be protected. To all of those people who I've experienced black synergy with, including, gotta shout out my security guards too. Y'all know who y'all are. And the work study students too. You know who y'all are too. And my students, of course, but I shout y'all out all the time. But I'm still gonna shout y'all out anyway. I love y'all. To all those people who I've experienced black synergy with, thank you. Your words, your protection, your acknowledgement, your willingness to listen, your willingness to edify and correct, and to see something in me that I didn't see, that I couldn't see. But because you saw it, I believed it. Thank you. From the bottom, top, and middle of my heart, I do what I do because y'all saw it. And I trusted you enough to believe it myself. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And as always, be well.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The journey is over.
Adieu, adieu, parting is such sweet sorrow.